Good morning. Looks like the clock says 11 o'clock, so we're going to go ahead and start. And we're going to begin by looking to Psalm 119 and just marvel in God's Word and how good it is. Psalm 119, and we're going to be reading verses 121 to 128. Psalm 119, verses 121 to 128. And here the psalmist says, I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the proud oppress me. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. Isn't it great that we have the Word of God, and we can know beyond a doubt that the Word of God is true, and it should be our foundation for all of life. And even though the world may say, well, what God says in His Word, it's not right. People say that all the time, you know, and we see in our society, even in the state of Iowa, how society is crumbling because they're denying God's Word. But yet we can say beyond a doubt that God is right, and His Word is right, and we can believe it because it comes from God Himself. It's God-breathed. Can we say this morning, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold, because God's Word is more precious than anything here on earth. It's more precious than any car or any house or anything like that. Great privilege we have this morning to look into God's Word. Psalm 119, 121 through 128. Let's go ahead and take our bulletins this morning. And we want to look first of all as far as what's going on this week. It begins this afternoon. We have our Park Ridge Manor Nursing Home Ministry at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's a great blessing, being able to minister and encourage those older folks in the nursing home. That's at 3 o'clock. We leave the church at 2:30. Then come back tonight for our Sunday evening service at 6 o'clock. On Tuesday, the ladies have their missionary guild, and that is at 7 o'clock here at the church. And then also on Tuesday, we have a men's Bible study here at the church at 7 o'clock. And then Wednesday, we'll have our Puppet Pals at 3:30. And then also on Wednesday, we'll have our Bible study and prayer meeting at 7 o'clock in the evening. So a number of things here that you can take advantage of as far as learning more concerning God and His Word and having great fellowship together. And I wish a happy anniversary to Bill and Wanda Carter. That's on May the 1st, on May Day. And actually, the Carters aren't with us this morning, but go ahead and wish them a happy anniversary. And then we're pleased to have with us this morning Mark Pitts. He is a missionary planning on going to Australia. And it was a great blessing to have him in the Sunday school as he shared his burden for Australia and challenged us from the Word of God from Matthew chapter 28. And we're looking forward to him coming this morning and preaching. And looking forward to that. And then also this evening, he'll be presenting even more of his ministry. And if you'd like to contribute, you'd like to give toward his ministry as he prepares to go to Australia, you can go ahead and mark your offering to the Pitts and then drop that in the offering plate this morning, or this evening we'll be taking a special offering for the Pitts. And I'm sure he'll let you know more about himself this morning and even this evening. And then also, as we look down below there, graduation celebration, May the 3rd, is when we're going to be celebrating the graduation of Andy Scott. Andy's going to be graduating this year from Faith. And then also Priscilla O'Sullivan. And Priscilla, of course, would be Steve Gilbertson's fiance. Both of them will be graduating from Faith on May the 8th. So May the 3rd, that'd be this coming Sunday already. Next Sunday in the evening, we'll be having a special fellowship after the evening service. So be thinking of what food you can bring to share. Then if you'd like to give a gift to one of the graduates, or to both the graduates, I'd be thinking of that as well. And then also we're going to have a Mother's Day celebration on May the 12th, that's a Tuesday, at 6 o'clock in the evening, and bring a salad to share, and Kay Hummel is the one that's organizing this, so if you have any questions concerning that, go ahead and ask Kay, and she can answer your questions. And I'd like Dan to come up now, Dan Lamgo, and he'll share with us concerning what we'll be looking at for Sunday school for this next quarter.
I have a question for Kay. Can I come? Oh,
you're going to let me come if I want, right?
Yeah.
But I don't like salads, so. We're going to have meat there? Well, no, I might show up. All right. I'm sure most of you are like me. You have a desire for your life to count for something. Is there anybody in here that doesn't feel that way? You want your life to count, right? You want to look back at the end of your life and say, wow, I didn't waste my life. And I think we all can feel that. As believers, as Christians, oftentimes our desire for us to look back over our lives and say, wow, I didn't waste it, is tied up with the gospel. And it should be. Our desire or our willingness to share or our unwillingness to share the gospel with those who do not know the truth. And oftentimes, though, when we try to share the gospel with people, we become very uncomfortable. It's uneasy because it's difficult to tell somebody that they're a sinner, because I know I don't like to be told that I'm a sinner. I'm sure the rest of you are the same way. It's difficult to be able to tell somebody that, you know, you're dying, you're lost and you're dying and you're on your way to, and we don't want to use that word, but you're on your way to hell. And we have heard many different methods and many different ideas, and all these different things have been taught through Christendom through many years. Well, unfortunately, most of those things are ineffective. And that's just the reality. They're awkward, they're ineffective. So what we're going to be looking at is a pattern from Scripture that talks about how we, as believers, can go public with our faith. We are living in a world today that is in definite need of believers who will stand for what is true and what is right, and a desire to be able to share that truth with others. Not to be caustic, not to be mean, not to be rude, but rather simply to share with people what God is doing in your life. And so we're going to talk in the next quarter in the adult Sunday school class, we're going to talk about what it means to go public with your faith and how we can do that in a more effective manner. I believe that most Christians see witnessing as a duty, as part of what we're supposed to do, right? Well, I would challenge you to think about that. Because I believe that if we see it as a sense of duty, when we don't do it, all we get is a sense of guilt. But the reality is that it's not a duty that we have to do. It's not a chore that we should dread. It's something that should be part of our lives, moment by moment, day by day, as we walk through life. And so we're going to take a look at what the Scripture would have to say about going public with our faith and becoming a greater influence for God through our lives, wherever we may be, whether it's at work or at school or whatever the case may be. And so I hope you'll come out with us beginning next Sunday morning and right here in the auditorium, and we'll talk about how you can be more effective with your faith and going public with it.
I'm looking forward to this quarter, and Sunday school starts at 9:45, and that's not too early, you know. Most people probably get up before that, you know, on a weekday, but 9:45 Sunday morning, come and be challenged and be encouraged as far as how you can share your faith of Jesus Christ with others that are around you. I really encourage you to come, and we can learn together, and we can be encouraged and challenged together. Wonderful. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, you are so good to us, and we can't even think to count and number all of the blessings that you've showered upon us. We thank you for Jesus Christ most of all, because without Jesus Christ we have no hope and we have no reason for living. We thank you that Jesus Christ came to this earth, he lived a perfect life, and he died on the cross of Calvary for me and for each one here this morning and for each person in this world, both past and present and future. We thank you that Jesus Christ paid that price I thank you that whoever believes in Jesus Christ, whoever puts their trust in Him, has eternal life and their sins are forgiven. I thank you for that great truth. I thank you that it is so simple just to put our trust in Him, that we don't have to work at all for our salvation, but yet it is so difficult. So many people don't see their need for Jesus Christ. So I do pray that we would have that boldness and that desire to share the gospel with the lost. And we thank you that you convict lost sinners and that you save them. And we even do pray that many in this community and many throughout Des Moines and the state and even the world would believe on Jesus Christ as their Savior and that their life would be changed. So we thank you so very much for that. We thank you for your word. Because without your word, we wouldn't know how you'd want us to live our lives. So I pray that we'd be students of your word, that we'd love it, and that we'd just pour our lives into knowing your word and into doing your word. Not because we have to, but because we want to. So we do thank you for this morning. We thank you for each one that is here. I even thank you seeing the Deatons come in. Thank you for how you watched over Stan this weekend as he had his gallbladder removed. I pray that you'd help him to recover quickly and gain strength. Do pray for others that are struggling with their health. We thank you that you are the great physician and that you are more than able to help us through whatever physical problem we're going through. Help us to trust you no matter what's going on in our life, whether it be something with our health or whether something with our finances or something with our family or other relationships. Help us to trust you because you are all-powerful and you are all-knowing and you can make the worst of situations into something that glorifies you in a great way. So we do pray for this morning, even as we sing songs of praise to you, as we look into your word. I pray that you'd be glorified in a great way. Help us to grow and to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ, even this morning. In his name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. You can go ahead and turn with me to hymn number 404, The Solid Rock. This is one of my favorite ones. Hymn number 404. I think this is a good standard song, so let's go ahead and stand as we sing this one. Seat. Let's go ahead and flip now to hymn 443. Hymn number 443, Give Me Jesus.
Take the world, but give me but give me Jesus, sweetest comfort of my soul. With my Savior watching o'er me, I can see though billows roll. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love, oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above. Save the world, but give me Jesus, let me view His constant smile. Then throughout my pilgrim journey, life would cheer me all the while. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love, oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above. Take the world, but give me Jesus, in His cross my trust shall be, till with clearer, brighter vision, face to face my Lord I see. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love, oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above.
Alrighty, now the ushers are going to be coming forth, and we'll go ahead and take up our offering. So let's go ahead and pray for that. Lord God, I just thank you for the privilege to be able to come to your house, to be able to worship you, to be able to hear from your word. Lord, I just pray that you would just give us a greater desire, Lord, just to see you work in our own lives and in this church, Lord. Just thank you for saving us and giving us just the privilege to live for you. So I just pray that you'd bless this offering, and I just pray that we would give joyously, just as a way that we might continue to worship you. I just pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Children can go ahead and be dismissed for Children's Church downstairs. And with that, let's go ahead and turn to hymn number 506, I Will Sing of My Redeemer. Hymn number 506.
I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered, my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save, in the boundless love and mercy, the with him to be. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free.
Amen.
Amen. Alrighty, let's go ahead and turn to hymn number 271, Standing on the Promises. Hymn number 271, so Standing on the Promises, let's go ahead and stand up again. So make sure we're standing on those promises. Thank you for your singing. Go ahead and take a chair, like Stephen would say.
Amen. Thank you, Cassie and Verva. And thank you, Andy. And we're privileged this morning to have Mark Pitts with us. And he's going to be preaching from the Word of God this morning. And I'm sure your heart will be blessed and challenged. So, Mark, why don't you come on up? And he'll probably share a few words about himself first. And I'll let him go ahead and do that.
Mark. Well, good morning. All right. Starting to turn out to be a beautiful day out there. I thought with all the storm last night, it might be pretty chilly this morning, but it turned out to be quite nice. My name is Mark Pitts. It's a pleasure to be with you here this morning. I'm a missionary appointee to the field of Australia, meaning that I have not been there full time. I'm still raising the funds to get there. I have to apologize. My family is not present with me here today. If you visit the table, or maybe you've seen the table already, it has a picture of four of us, and there's just one of us here. My two children are sick. My son Marshall, he's 3 years old. He's running a little bit of a temperature and coughing quite a bit. And my daughter Meredith, she's going to be 6 months old here at the beginning of May. She's having some difficulty as well. And so they're home with my wife Sarah in Danville, Illinois. and they're actually unable to even attend our home church this morning because they're just not feeling well. The little guys there, all the traveling that we do, they just seem to pick up stuff from everywhere, all kinds of sicknesses. So if you can remember to pray for them today, I'd really appreciate that. I know Sarah mentioned that they're still in good spirits, so that's just a real blessing to know that they still have their energy and they still have their appetite. So that's good for me to hear, but for my wife, you know, they still have the energy. So you should be praying for my wife today. She's taking on those two by herself. But I know they wish they could be with you here this morning, and they send their greetings. And I'm sure Marshall would have loved to have seen your nursery and all the toys that you have available for kids in there. He loves nurseries because there's all kinds of stuff for them to play with in there. But it is good to be with you here this morning. I shared quite a bit in the Sunday School Hour with our testimonies and more of the field of Australia. And I won't run over those speed bumps again in the morning service, but I do hope that you can come back this evening. I have a video presentation and then a couple other things I'd like to share with you about the country of Australia. If you have any questions, though, please feel free to ask me after the service. I'll be by the table, most likely. Please visit the table. Take one of those prayer cards home and just put it in a place wherever you keep the rest of your prayer cards. Hopefully that's not in the garbage can. All right, that wouldn't be good. But maybe just stick it in your refrigerator, or with a last name like Pitts, be creative. Maybe stick it on your stick of deodorant or something like that. That'll help you remember to pray for the Pitts family. Hey, listen, I've had to live with the name my whole life, so I'm used to all the jokes. All right, so I'm used to that. But do visit the table. Please take one of the prayer cards, and if there's anything I can answer for you, I'd be more than happy to do so about the country of Australia. But tonight, as I mentioned, I'll have a video. I'll share more information and more of the ministry that we feel the Lord is leading us to there in the city of Melbourne, Australia. This morning, let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. We're going to look at verses 1 through 13. A very familiar passage. And probably a passage that you might wonder why a missionary would be preaching on this passage, but I think it's quite applicable this morning for all of us. But it's the passage that talks about Abraham offering up Isaac. And it has that account of history here. But as we look there at Genesis chapter 22, let's start in verse 1, and I'll read through verse 13 this morning. Starting in verse 1, excuse me, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder, and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Let's ask God's blessing upon his word this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this day. Thank you for each and every one that has come this morning. And Lord, I just pray a blessing upon this message. Lord, I pray that you would use me as your vessel. Just empty me of self, Lord, and fill me with your Spirit. And I pray that you would work in hearts this morning. As we look at this passage, Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts. Speak to my heart, Lord, as well. I pray your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message this morning is Lessons in Obedience. Lessons in Obedience. For many of us, we know what we ought to be doing. We know what we should be doing. This morning in Sunday school class, we looked at Matthew 28 the Great Commission there. And we see what we should be doing each and every day as believers, sharing the gospel as we are going, wherever we are going, and continuing on teaching people God's word. And you know, that's something that you probably have already heard, and you probably know. And so this morning, I want to look at obedience, because it comes down to that, whether we will obey God's word or not. And you know, you can really see that in raising children. You know, as I mentioned, I have two children. One is 3 and one is 6 months old. And I tell you, this has been the longest learning experience of my life, having kids. And it's just continuing on. And from what I hear, it's not going to stop for a long time. You know, you learn a lot about yourself as well as you raise children. And with my son, Marshall, he's a ton of fun and a ton of energy. And he's to the point now at the age of 3 where he starts to understand what he's doing. And he understands what he should be doing and what he shouldn't be doing. And it's quite funny. You know, he'll wake up, because he wakes up when the sun comes up. I guess he's like a chicken or something like that. It's really amazing. The second the sun is up, he's popping out of bed. And he's running into our room, and he's saying, "Dad, the sun's up." I'm like, "I know, go back to bed. You know, my alarm hasn't gone off." And, you know, I tell him, "Marshall, go back to bed." And he basically just, he walks out of our room, and then he just kind of looks around the house and says, "Mom and Dad are in bed. I rule the house." And so it's amazing what this guy gets into. And, you know, I'll roll out of bed maybe a half hour later because I hear noise. And I'm like, "What is he getting into now?" And he'll have moved a chair. He'll have positioned a chair so that he could get up onto a counter and get to gum. You know, there have been several mornings that I roll out of bed and I see him sitting on the couch with a chocolate mustache. And I say, "Where did you get that?" And then I find on the table, he's at least nice enough to put what's left on the dinner table. There will have been chocolate that he opened up and just got into for breakfast. One time we woke up and we found chocolate all over his face and chocolate all over the coffee table. He had went in the kitchen and opened up a packet of hot chocolate mix and took it back into the living room, and he had a cup of water with, you know, about that much water in it, and he had mixed the chocolate in the water and he was eating it, and it was all over. And you know, we are working with him. We're trying to teach him, "Marshall, no, we don't want you getting up and going after chocolate in the morning. You know, you need to ask us first. And I'm trying to teach him, trying to find out what will work to get the message across. Hey, Marshall, you don't have the authority to go in there and feed yourself whatever you want. You come and ask us, we'll get it for you." And he's to the point now where he knows. You know, he knows that he has two choices. He can choose to obey me,
or he can choose to disobey me. And I'm trying to get him to that point where he grasps that idea, where he says, you know what, right now I'm at a crossroad. Dad has told me to do this. I want to do this. And now I must choose to obey or to disobey. And it's just that simple for him. And you know, the same thing is true for us as believers. It is just that simple. We have two choices. And we come to a crossroad in our life where we can choose to obey God and to obey God's Word, or to obey ourselves and do what we want to do. And it's as simple as that. And we need to come to that point where we step back and we say, you know what, right now I am at a crossroad. And I can either choose to obey God's Word, or I can choose to do as I please and say, God, I don't care what you have to say. I'm going to do what I want. And that's literally what we're doing. And I know Marshall doesn't see that in his life, but when I tell him, Marshall, I don't want you going and doing that, he's basically saying, Dad, you know what? I don't care what you want. I only care what I want. And he's small, and I'm trying to get him to understand that. It's very hard for him to grasp that. And many times it's hard for us to grasp that as well. But it is just that simple, folks. And as we look at this passage of Genesis chapter 22, we can look at it in several different ways. But today we're going to look at Abraham's obedience to God's Word. And we're going to look at a couple of areas here. I think I have 5 points, five lessons of obedience. Really 4 points in one wrap-up. Just to kind of let you know that by the time we get to the fourth point, it's almost done. All right. 4 points in one wrap-up point, okay? But here in this passage, God commands Abraham to do something. He commands him to offer up his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And he makes it specific. Thine only son, legally thine only son, whom thou lovest, I want you to offer him up. He gives him that command. And as we look at verse 1, it says, it came to pass after these things. The phrase there, these things, could be referring to the other trials or tests that Abraham had already endured in his life. And you think about those things. Leaving his family in the land of Ur. Chasing after his nephew Lot after he had been kidnapped. Having to send away Ishmael and Hagar and trust that God was going to take care of them. And what we'll look at even more specifically, I'll mention many times this morning, how he trusted in God to provide a son through his wife Sarah after they were beyond the age of bearing children. After these things, these other trials that Abraham had already endured, it was not over for him in his life. God had more trials to test his faith. And we see there it says that God did tempt Abraham. The word there literally is test Abraham. We know from Scripture that God does not tempt us with evil. In James 1 and chapter 13 it says, let no man say when he is tempted, as I'm tempted with sin, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So God is not tempting him to do evil, but he is testing him. He is offering him an opportunity to demonstrate his faith in God through his obedience to God's Word. And we see that is true in our lives as well as believers. In 1 Peter 1:7 it says that the trial or the testing of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We will have trials that will enter our lives, times of testing, where it comes down to those two decisions. Are we going to obey God and His Word, or are we just going to do whatever we want? There's a couple lessons here that we can learn from Abraham. First of all, the first lesson we can learn from Abraham in his life is that Abraham had an immediate obedience. Abraham had an immediate obedience. As we look there at verse 3, God had told Abraham, this is what I want you to do. Get thee into the land of Moriah, verse 2, offer him there Isaac, he's talking about, for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And it says in verse 3, Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Now in Genesis chapter 15, verses 9 through 21, in that passage, God deals with Abraham in a dream. He speaks to him in a dream and deals with him there in that manner. Now, if in this passage, in verses 1 and 2, God again deals with Abraham in a dream, which is quite possible, we see here in verse 3 that Abraham had an immediate obedience. It says that he woke up early. He rose up early in the morning. Now, for me, that's difficult. I'm not a morning person yet. My son is helping me with that problem. I prefer to stay up late and do my work late at night. But it says here that he rose up early. Chances are he got up before the sun peeked over the hillside. And this man that was over 100 years old, probably about 130 years old, is out there splitting wood, probably in the dark or in the early dawn time, obeying God's word immediately. He takes two of his servants, he takes his son, and notice that he takes everything that is necessary to complete the obedience to God's word. He takes with him. He takes the wood, he takes the knife, and we see later on that he has the fire as well. But he takes these things to fully obey God, and he obeys immediately. And I think there are two reasons for Abraham's immediate obedience. Two reasons for his immediate obedience. First of all, Abraham had a fear of God. And we see that in verse 12. It says, the angel is speaking to Abraham. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Abraham had a fear of God. Now this fear is not necessarily a dread or a terror, but more of respect and reverence. He had respect for God, reverence of God. And he showed that through obeying immediately. He showed that what God had to say was important. Important enough to waste no time. He was ready to obey immediately. And we as believers need to have a healthy fear of God. We need to have a healthy respect and reverence for God. You know, when you think about going to work, if your boss tells you to do something and you were to just put it off, what would go through your boss's mind? He'd say, hey, this person has no respect for my authority. None at all. But if your boss told you to do something and you did it immediately, he'd say, hey, this guy has respect for my authority in his immediate obedience. You show that. You show respect, reverence. And we as believers need to have a healthy fear of God. As we see in Proverbs, fear of God brings two things that are beneficial. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's also the beginning of wisdom. These are two things that we get to benefit from, of having this fear, this respect, or reverence of God. But it also shows the importance you place on your relationship with the Lord. You're showing Him, God, what you have to say is important. So important that I am going to obey right now. I am not going to waste time. And that's what you're doing by immediately obeying God's word. A second reason for his immediate obedience is that there would be a temptation to delay. You know, as you look here, Abraham, he prepared, he departed, he wasted no time, and I think the reason for that is because there would have been a temptation to delay, and to continue to delay. Put yourself in his shoes. Just think about that. Or his sandals, sorry, they might not have had shoes back then. But Abraham would have said, Lord, I will obey you, I will. But just give me one more week with my son. Maybe just one more week, or a couple more days, one more weekend, we'll say that. One more weekend. And he and I can go out, we can play catch, we can go catch a ball game, we can go fishing together, we can take another walk and just chat, and I could share things with him and just spend just a few more days with him. Well, what do you think would have happened after those few days had gone up? He would have come back and said, Lord, I will obey, I will. But maybe just a couple more days. Maybe just one more month. You know, he's almost graduated from this class, you know, or whatever. You know, just a little longer. There would have been that temptation to delay. And it would have continued on and on and on. Because he did not obey immediately. But we don't see that. We see that he obeys right away. You know, the same thing is true with us. We have that temptation to delay. And it's a continual temptation to delay. We are people that put things off. And I am that way. I have a problem sometimes with putting things off to the last minute. Sometimes it's mowing my lawn, Pastor. I put it off to the last minute where the lawnmower can barely get pushed around the yard because I have put it off. But let's not put things off in our spiritual lives. When we are convicted of something, when the Lord lays something on our heart, let's obey immediately. One commentator put it this way. He said, "Those that do the will of God heartily will do it speedily. While we delay, time is lost and the heart is hardened." Let's not delay. Let's not waste time. Let's not put things off. If you feel that God is convicting you about something, some area in your life where you are not obeying Him, and this can be any area, and I know this is more of a general shotgun approach to this, but if God is convicting you about something and only you know, make that right today. Don't play around with it anymore. Don't delay. Don't say, you know, I'll get to this when I'm ready. Have that immediate obedience. Say, "Lord, I'm going to make this right with You. And I'm going to obey You instead of doing as I please." And immediate obedience. Second, an enduring obedience. Look at verse 4. It says, "Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off." Abraham obeyed immediately. We see that in verse 3. He got up and he was gone. But his journey to the destination that God had commanded was not close. It says that it took him 3 days. As I studied this out, this land of Moriah and these mountains that God had chosen was about a 50-mile journey. And Abraham took 3 days to make that journey. But not only that, notice in verse 4 it says, "Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine traveling for 3 days and then even seeing the place afar off and knowing what you needed to do at that place? Where you had to sacrifice your son, the son that you love. Don't you think that would have been difficult for him to have to continue on? He had to have an enduring temptation. There are two necessary reasons for his enduring temptation. Enduring obedience. Temptation is the word in the next point. Sorry. Enduring obedience, first of all, is this constant temptation. Constant temptation. It says 3 days. 3 days and three nights. He had to wait before he could completely obey God by sacrificing his son. And if it were me in that position, you know, they didn't have television or things like that. He would have had to lay next to that fire and stare up into the night sky or stare at the top of his tent and think. And there would have been temptation. He did not tell anyone what was going to be happening here. He didn't tell Isaac. He didn't tell his servants. He didn't tell his wife. And yet he continued to obey. And as he laid there at night, or as he traveled during the day, he could have said, "You know what? All I have to do is tell my servants, we're going to this town over here. We're not going to this mountain in the land of Moriah. We're instead going to go to this town, and then we're going home." Or he could have just said, "We're just turning around. We're going to go back." No one would have stopped him. No one would have stopped him. And that would have been a temptation. Every night he could have laid there and said, "You know what? I don't have to do this. Who is going to know? Only God. But no one else. No one's going to physically stop me." Constant temptation. He had to have an enduring obedience because of constant temptation. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5, Satan is called the tempter. And his desire is to see that Christians waste their lives and try and draw us away from obeying God and to doing what we want. And he uses the things of this world. There's so many things in this world that can draw away our lust, our desire, and instead of spending time serving God or obeying God, now we are just fulfilling our own desires, and our whole life is filled with that. And they may not be bad things. They may just be hobbies. And we're too busy spending time involved in some kind of a hobby or activity that we no longer have any time to serve the Lord. We have no time to obey Him and His Word. We need to be careful. No, not only that, we have the flesh as well. In Galatians 5:17, it says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would." There are constant temptations in our lives, and so we must have an enduring obedience. Because Satan is going to try and use the world to tempt you. Your flesh is going to be tempting you. So there must be an enduring obedience. You know, I think of that. I worked for a couple of years at a food distribution warehouse. And it was a rough place. When I was in college, I worked for a pallet building company. Another really rough place. I'm working with guys that are, you know, I can remember at the pallet building company, I remember seeing drug deals at work. And I had to go and tell the people, listen, if I see it again, I'm turning you in. You know, and I probably should have turned them in right then and there, but I was about 18 or 19 years old, and these guys would have pounded me into the dust. There were too many of them. But I said to them, listen, you know, I don't want to see that here. And I knew that every time at break, they would go out, and they would smoke marijuana, and they would come back to work. I know what it's like to live in the world. And to have that constant temptation, that constant mocking of the things of God. We need to have an enduring obedience. We need to be a people that are going to dig in and say, I'm not going to give in to this sin. And I am not going to stand by and let other people do it. Now, does that mean we get in their face and get rude? No. Like the brother was mentioning this morning, that's not what it's like. We share the love of Christ with them. We say, hey, listen, that is not something that God is pleased with. And these people know it. They do. And they are convicted. And many times they will, you know, they will cut you off and say, hey, we're not going to hang around with this person because we know where they stand. I remember when I worked at this place in Danville, this food distribution warehouse, I worked third shift driving a forklift. And I worked for, it was like 6 or 7 months with these guys. I got to know everybody, friends with everybody. And one day I overheard two of them talking right next to me. And one asked the other one, hey, are you going to go to Julie's this morning? We get off of work, we work third shift. And I said, well, what's Julie's? And he was asking another guy, he wasn't asking me. And I said, well, what's Julie's? And they said, oh, it's a bar. And I said, oh. They're like, yeah, we, all of us meet there every morning after work. And I said, all of us? I said, you never invited me to go to the bar. And I was kind of being sarcastic. And they're like, well, we know you wouldn't go anyway. I'm like, you don't know that. Why don't you ask me? Would you like to meet us at Julie's this morning? No. And they knew. They knew where I stood, though. Because I had to have an enduring obedience to God's Word. And it was reflected in my life. And it got to the point where they didn't even invite me to things. There were things going on that I didn't even know about. Because they knew, hey, this guy is not going to go with us. This is the man that is different. We need to have an enduring obedience. We'll be a shining light to those around us. Because there's constant temptation. A second necessary reason for Abraham to have enduring obedience is the distant journey. As was mentioned here, 50 miles, 3 days, 3 nights. He even saw it afar off, and he still obeyed, even though the journey was long. You know, many people have said that the Christian life is not a sprint, it's a marathon, and that's true. You know, many of us, the Christian life is a long marathon. You know, I will be 28 next month. And that will mean that spiritually, I'll be 20 years old. I got saved at the age of 8. And so I'll be 20 years old as a Christian. And for many of you, 20 years old as a Christian, you remember that a long time ago. And so for you, the spiritual life has been a marathon. It's been a long time. And you have endured constant temptation over and over again. And you've had to have an enduring obedience. And for someone like me, I pray that God has me around for another 40 or 60 years so that I can continue to minister in the country of Australia. And I'm going to need to have an enduring obedience. Because the journey is long. It is distant. So we see that Abraham had an enduring obedience. Third, we see Abraham's independent obedience. Look there at verse 5. It says, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you." We see that Abraham left behind all hindrances. Anything that would stop him from completely obeying God, he left behind him. And he did not bring them with. Who is the one person that was not invited on this journey? Anyone? This is how I keep you awake. What's that? His wife, Sarah. Sarah was not present. Why do you think that is? Probably because she had a child after she was 9 years old. And to hear that that child was now going to be sacrificed, that probably wouldn't go over well with a woman. I've heard pregnancy can be difficult. And I've seen two of them, so I know it can be difficult. But he did not invite his wife. Why? Because his wife would have said, hey, maybe this is not a good idea, Abraham. She might have been okay with it maybe for the first day or two, but that constant temptation might have hammered away at her heart and her mind, and she would have said, you know what, Abraham, I don't think I'm all in this, and I think we need to turn around. And you notice that he did not tell his servants. He did not take his servants with him. Isaac was the son of promise. And I'm sure that the servants were excited that Isaac was now there. He was going to be their master, their ruler, after Abraham was gone. And so Abraham does not tell the servants. And I think there's a couple of reasons why Abraham had this independent obedience. And first of all, I've kind of already touched on this. It's because others can fail. He didn't invite his wife because his wife possibly would have said, Abraham, this is not a good idea. He didn't tell his servants because his servants could have said, you know what, now that I think about this, this is not such a great idea. And they could have gotten together with Isaac, who was about 30 years old, somewhere in that range, and they could have said, you know what, Isaac, we're two young, strapping servants, and you're a young, strapping man yourself, and your dad is over 100. He's like 130. How about we tie him up, and we leave him here, and all three of us go back? They could have done that. They could have said, hey, let's just overpower him. We don't have to obey. Others can fail. And many times, as believers, we are relying on someone else's spirituality. And I hope that's not true with you. You need to have a personal walk with God and not be trusting in others because others can fail. I know there's a young man at our local church that he will come to church only if I will be there or if my father-in-law will be there. And if he knows that both of us will not be there, he will not come to church. It's just that simple. He comes only because his friends are there. Now, I've tried to encourage him. I've tried to call him when I'm on the road and say, hey, Luke, are you going to go to church this weekend? And he'll give me, you know, oh, yeah, I might have to work or I'm on call or this or that. He'll give me excuses. Why? Because he's relying on other people. And other people can fail. I can fail. My father-in-law can fail. He needs to be coming to church because he loves the Lord and he wants to grow in Christ. He wants to hear God's word preached. And he's not going to forsake the gathering together of believers. A second reason for Abraham's independent obedience is because of his personal relationship with God. God commanded Abraham to do this, not his wife or his servants. He commanded Abraham. And as Abraham obeyed, it strengthened his personal relationship with God. And that's true for us as well. We as believers, we need to be growing in Christ. It teaches us that in the Scriptures. We need to be reading God's Word daily, personally. And you know what? It needs to be more than just another thing on a checklist. I hope that's not the case with you. We need to be reading God's Word to learn and to have the Holy Spirit speak to us through God's Word. We're to study, having a personal relationship with God. And as we are obeying, we will strengthen that personal relationship. So we see an independent obedience. And fourth, we see a confident obedience. Look there at verses 7 and 8. It says in verse 6, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand, he took the knife, and they went, both of them together. Again, you see he prepares to obey fully. He does not leave anything out. And verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. Abraham did not second guess God's command here. He had a confident obedience. He continued steadfast in that obedience. Two characteristics of Abraham's confident obedience. First of all, Abraham does not question God's command. At that time, only the heathen and the pagan were committing human sacrifice. And I think that would have came into Abraham's mind. And he would have said, Why, Lord? Why? You know, why would... He would have had the temptation to say, Why, Lord? Why would you ask for a human sacrifice? That is something that only the heathen do. You have never asked for a human sacrifice before. But he did not question. And you know what? There are people today that would rather question God's word than obey it. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4, it says this, For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. You know, I get a kick out of watching these TV preachers. And I don't know if you've ever watched any of them, but I've seen a couple of them. And the stuff they put out there, it's not the Word of God. There's one guy that I've seen. He has all of his people in the audience, and it's a big audience. I mean, it's huge. He has all of them grab their Bibles, hold it in the air, and all of them make an oath to God to claim the promises that are in Scripture, to obey the commands that are in Scripture, and to learn from God's Word, to take it to heart, all these different things. And then everyone in the audience, including the preacher, takes that closed Bible and they set it down. And not once does he open it. And he will use three, maybe four verses that he bends to his sermon to preach to those people. And those are people that are seeking teachers that will scratch behind their ears, basically. People that will tell them what they want to hear. And they would rather question God's word than obey it. And many of those messages, there's nothing about obedience to God's word. It's all about you give, God's going to give back to you. And, you know, God's got a better job for you out there. God's got a healthier you out there, and this and that and the other. But nothing about obedience to God's word. You need to be careful of that, folks. You need to watch out for that. That's dangerous. When you got people that are bending God's word to fit their message instead of preaching what is in God's word. Obeying, not questioning God's command. Second characteristic of his confident obedience, Abraham trusted in God's provision. Abraham's response to Isaac's question. He says, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. In Hebrews 11, 17 through 19, Abraham believed, it says there that Abraham believed that God could raise his son from the dead. And he was holding on to that, saying, You know what? I'm going to completely obey God because God can do anything. And I'm trusting that God can bring my son back to life. I know he can do it. If he can bring my body back to life and my wife's body back to life so that we can bear children, God can bring my son back to life after I've sacrificed him. And he might have shared that with his son at the top of the mountain. We don't know. It is not given to us. As you look at verse 5, Abraham even shows to his servants his confident obedience. He says there, Abraham said to his young men, You abide here, I and the lad. Notice this phrase here because it carries over for each word. I and the lad will go yonder. I and the lad will worship. I and the lad will come again to you. Abraham showed to even his servants his faith, his confident obedience that God would bring both of them back down that mountain to those servants. Confident obedience, and we can have confidence knowing that God is in control. Romans 8:28, a verse that's very familiar, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We can trust that God is in control, and we can have a confident obedience in Him. Finally, complete obedience. We see that Abraham obeyed completely. And it's just a wrap up of all these points. He had a fear and a reverence of God, no delaying in obedience, the overcoming of constant temptation during a long distant journey. He strengthened his personal relationship with God, and he trusted that God was in control and that God would provide. He had a complete obedience. And we see it in verses 9 through 10. And so this morning, maybe there's an area in your life where you have not been obeying. Maybe there's an area where you need to have immediate obedience, or perhaps an enduring obedience. Maybe there's something in your life that just needs to change this morning. There's a sin that you've been involved in that you have been convicted time and time again about, and you continue to fall to it, and you just need to come this morning and say, you know what? I am no longer going to give in to the sin. I'm going to claim the victory through Jesus Christ, and I'm going to have an enduring obedience to God's Word. I pray that you'd make that decision this morning. Let's close in prayer and I'll turn it over to Pastor. Lord, I do thank you for this time. Thank you for these folks so patient and so open to your word here this morning. I pray your blessing upon the invitation or whatever is to follow, Lord. I pray that you would work in hearts even beyond, Lord, the time that we're here together. Continue to work in hearts. I pray your blessing upon these folks and upon the remainder of our time together, and bring us back safely this evening as we look again at your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Why don't you go ahead and stand with me as Andy comes. Turn to number 333. His way with the 333. Challenge from God's Word concerning obedience. And obedience is absolutely foundational in each one of our lives. And it has to begin with obeying the gospel. And it tells that numerous times in the New Testament to obey the gospel. Have you trusted Jesus Christ this morning as your Savior from sin? That's where it has to all begin. And then once we do that, then we're enabled to read God's Word, to understand it, and then to obey what God would have us to do. Is that where you're at this morning? If you aren't, feel free to talk with myself or with Mark or one of the other godly people of this church, and we want to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ. Let's sing stanza number 3.
Would you in this kingdom find a place of constant rest? Would you prove a true and providential test? Would you in his service labor always for your best? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. Best for him to have his way with thee.
Lord God, I just thank you for your word, for the provision that you give. Lord, I just pray that you would just show us just the lack of our lives, of the disobedience that we so often have. And I pray, Lord, that we would realize our need for you and to trust in you, Lord. So I pray that you would, just as we go out these coming days, that you would continue to mold us and make us more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that we would see that obedience to you is exactly not only what we ought to do, but is the greatest thing for us as well, Lord. So just make us willing servants of you in these coming days. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.